You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Gunner, you ready? You ready for a little bit of a psychological test right here?
You can go.
All right. I'm going to say something, and then you react to it, okay?
Okay.
Haiti is a shithole.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
Well, are you going to tell me something new? Are you going to surprise me? I'm waiting for this big grand surprise.
Do you think the people that elected him that feel disconnected, do you think any of that bothers them?
No. I mean, he's saying exactly what we all know. Right? Mexico, shithole? Let me see. Let me get back to you. Come on, guys.
I will say this. Not where the rich Mexicans live. And let me tell you, Mexico is...
You know where the rich Mexicans live? California.
No, let me just tell you, if you, Mexico, the corruption in Mexico is incredible. And, you know, if you look at the people that run Mexico, right, they are fantastically wealthy, wealthy, wealthy people. If you look at the Mexican people themselves, their lives have not changed much over the decades, in spite of living next to the greatest economic power on the planet.
Right.
Yeah. So, let me just tell you, though, Mike and I talked about this before. Donald Trump is his own worst enemy. He's the president of the United States. The way that we talk, you know, is not the way that he should talk, especially when he's on the verge of negotiating something pretty significant. All he does is he gives his opponents ammunition, and it's stupid, and blah, blah, blah.
Two steps forward, one step back.
Yeah.
That's Donald Trump.
But, again, I got an email earlier today from somebody who said, hey, look, I didn't vote for him, but I don't care, because what's happened in my 401k, that if he's able to sustain this for a few more years, will provide for me and my retirement the way nobody else has in the last 20 years. That's not insignificant. And I think that everybody's got a 401k that looks at those numbers going up, sits there and goes, oh my God. And maybe this might continue for a while. Now, does that give him a pass on being a dope? No. But, you know, again, it is him. And if we have to live with Mike Pence, then as Gunnar and I said, we'll live with Mike Pence. But whatever.
And I heard that, you know, and I was watching that. It was just kind of like this. Should the President of the United States be saying that? No, absolutely. But is he correct in that? Yeah, absolutely. There's countries that are out there that are shitholes.
Right.
Now, they may not like to hear it. You know, India, Pakistan, shitholes, boys and girls. Just about every country, every place in Africa is a shithole.
And again, you can't imagine shitholes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, you don't even know.
Even a lot of the South American countries.
We'll explain it like this. Go to the, like, really bad parts of the United States. Remember when they had Hurricane Katrina and you saw really nasty parts of New Orleans?
Yeah. Right.
Okay, Mike, rank that with some of the shitholes that you've seen around the country.
Oh, it's right up there. It's like New Delhi in India.
But again, you're talking about at least people have homes, right? Talk about some of the stuff you've seen Philippines. They make houses out of cereal boxes, right? You'll drive by and there's cereal boxes taped together or somehow they're bound together. And the first good rain, it goes away. That's their home.
Yeah, your house melts.
So it's like, yeah. American poverty is like the Beverly Hills of poverty. around the world.
Yeah, if you're going to be poor in America. That's true.
Right, because you've got a roof over your head, like you're living in a building, right?
Or,
there tends
or
to be electricity.
Is in the middle of the night a tiger pulling you out of your house and eating you.
Yeah, right.
Which happens.
Right. You know, your kids are running around barefoot, half naked, right?
Right.
So, anyway. So, again, but again.
The leading cause of death is being eaten by a crocodile.
Yeah.
If you go down there, and that's where you have to get your water, you have to wash your clothes, your dishes, and every once in a while, a crocodile is waiting for you. That's poor.
And, you know, again, I've told this story before, but, you know, when Mike and I were young in the Marine Corps in the early 80s, mid-80s, and we were on aircraft carriers going around the world.
Shitholes.
Yeah, you went to the Philippines, and when you left the base at Subic, you walked across a bridge that took you over what was affectionately known as Shit River.
And yeah, they didn't call it because they didn't call it Shit River because it looked like shit and smelled like shit. No, because there was actually shit floating in it.
All right, and there was boys in boats in the river. Marines would throw money into the water, and they would dive into the water to get
the river princesses would be in their prom dresses sitting on the top of the dugout canoes.
Right.
Enticing you to throw pesos at them.
and then you have the prostitutes in the city, right? They're there and can't go home because their father has a loan from the business that runs, right? And she's there to work the loan off. So it's
right.
So when you talk about, I don't know that it's things that Americans don't conceive of because it's just not part of our world. So, but again, he needs to.
Yeah, they don't have experience of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So when he says those, I mean, I think those of us who have seen really shithole places, you know, but come on, man. How about General Dunford's deputy? How about that becoming controversial when he says, "Hey, look, They can either surrender to us, in which case we'll take them to their cell, we'll feed them, we'll take care of them, and we'll treat them, or we'll kill them. We'll shoot them in the face, we'll kill them with an E-tool." Did you see that little controversy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. People don't like people talking like that.
People don't like military guys talking about killing.
Right. We don't.
Yeah, as long as it's done without... The dirty stuff's done without their knowledge, without detail, then they can sleep at night.
Right.
Once they find out that we go out and do these things to people, they're like, "Man, you guys are monsters."
Yes. It's so important.
Do you know how you kill a monster?
How?
With a bigger, meaner monster.
What? And then Will Cosentini, the Don, as you call him. I don't like that name, but he called in and he said. He was telling me a story about what had to happen with, do you remember Corporal Woodridge who grabbed the machine gun that got pointed around the corner? I think it happened while we were in Afghanistan. He was north of us, but, he yanked it out of the dude's hands and then crushed his head with it.
You know what? Did he get officers?
No, but the citation had to be rewritten so as to not be too offensive and too vivid.
Oh, because it wouldn't sound right to say, you know, said in a Marine, then yanked the gun out of the enemy combatant's hand and proceeded to crush his skull with it.
Thereby neutralizing the attack. That's a little bit too much. We don't really want to put that in the front window. That all belongs in the back room. So.
Yeah.
All right.
God forbid.
God forbid. The, now I had something else I wanted to talk to you about. Oh no, you have a movie you want us to,
yeah.
What movie?
It came out in 2013. I can't believe I never heard of it. It's a Ron Howard film, which I'm a big fan of Ron Howard's films.
Like, yeah, no, he always does, in my opinion, thought provoking, good stuff. So, what's the name of the movie?
Yeah, called Rush, and it's about the Formula One race drivers Niki Lauda and James Hunt of the 1970s. And I remember that. That was when Mario Andretti, you know, the American, was just making his debut and getting good. But Niki Lauda was an Austrian, and James Hunt was a Brit. And it's kind of it's a really good moving movie between two competitors. Both have different viewpoints on how the sport should be played.
Oh, this is about racing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
Really,
I never
a touching
it.
Movie. Touching really? Movie. And the thing that really captivates me is how Niki Lauda, in 1976 in Germany, crashed and burned in his car. And this is before, you know, the race cars back then, they used to sit on the fuel tank, and it was high-octane fuel, extremely flammable. You know, there wasn't a lot of safety equipment.
Wow.
These guys, man, my hat goes off to these guys. But what happened was Niki Lauda crashed, burned really bad, and within, I think, a month, was back racing again. And he was the world champion in 1975. And then James Hunt ended up beating him by a point. It came down to the last race, the Grand Prix in Fuji, Japan. And James Hunt came in third place in that race and won by a point and claimed the world championship. But it's just very opposite racers, James Hunt, loud, boisterous, playboy, you know, does a lot of substance stuff and lived a very fast and furious life, died at the age of 49 with a heart attack. And then Niki Lauda, who then started Lauda Airlines, which was bought by Austrian Air, which became Austrian Air. Very successful businessman, of course.
Right.
But, I mean, just amazing story.
So what was so touching about the story, though?
Because of the competition between both of them fueled each other. And they never really, and, you know, Niki Lauda never really said it to James until, you know, close to him dying. But then he talks about it afterwards. Of how, you know, it was James Hunt that was the only man that he ever respected. And, you know, what drove him to be a great race car driver. You know, it kept pushing him and pushing him and pushing him. But, yeah, just a good story. Really interesting. And if you're into race car driving, it's an excellent story.
Are you into race car driving? I've never heard you talk about race car driving.
I like race car. I mean, yeah, you talk about NASCAR. You always tell me to stop talking about it.
I do recall that conversation. Hey, I want to ask you, one of the other things that Will Cosentini brought up to me is he says he didn't, but he kind of wire brushed me about the swimming thing again.
What swimming thing?
Being the whole Mew, how much, what standard, you know, so what he said to me, he said, so do the math, tell me what standard are we going to train to, do the math in terms of who goes, yada, 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 so that we're not wasting our time. I said, okay, do you have a solution to that, Mike?
First of all, you got to come up with a standard. You know, what is the standard? What is it going to be? And then you build the infrastructure around the standard. The way we do it now is we have the infrastructure, and then we look at what is capable with the infrastructure, and then we come up with a standard. Or then we wave it. You know, then it's not a standard. It's anything that's waveable is not a standard.
Right.
Anything you can exclude and say, Well, if you've been swimming in the ocean within the last year, you're good to go. You know, that's not a standard. So come up with a real standard. We should have learned a lesson in the infantry stuff, trying to define an infantry standard when we were talking about women in combat. You know, and then we came back and said, oh, women can't be in combat on the infantry because they won't meet the standard. Well, some smart guy said, well, what's the standard to be in infantry? And someone went, and then they found out it's just pass the PFT and be a Marine.
Yikes. So, all right, so
well, then they start building the
let me give you a couple thoughts. Because I'm trying to find what is a standard. Because, you know, one, I think that if your job is to if your job is to fly over water.
Well, Mac, we're going to get into.
No.
Okay, right now the word is frequent flyer.
Okay, frequent flyer. If you're a frequent flyer. Okay.
What does that mean? What's the standard of that? How many times? Once?
No. That means you're part of a MU helicopter company. That's a frequent flyer.
Yeah, if you're a helicopter company, you're for the fly.
Okay, so
what about the company that starts out as a track company, and then the mission needs two companies of helicopter guys? What do you do? Wave it?
Well, I would be forced to wave it if I didn't have the time to get them their training. I would be forced to wave it. Yes. So I don't want to talk about
the life of the young Marine is worth.
No, it's not. It's not. But I've got to have the time to train him, right? And again, so
you do have the time. If you built the resources, you would have the time.
Okay, explain that to me. So if I build resources, so again, I'm just going to take some basic things you told me. One is that Marines need to run the pools, need to run the helo dunkers so that we can have the throughput that we need to get more people through them. Okay, and I don't even want to talk about more of them. Right? I don't even want to talk about who's going to go through them. So change one is Marines will run them. Change two, we need more of them.
Right, one at every regimental location.
Okay, so there's a helo dunker at every regimental location. Okay, that's two.
Yeah, 11th Marines. You know, LAR.
Right.
I mean, because recon's there, but I mean, you need them all these places.
Okay. All right. So we have, Marines running them. And then we have more facilities.
Right.
One per regiment.
Or one per, you know.
One per pool?
You'd have to look at recon would be an exception to that. Recon, off boards would
okay.
be one.
All right. We'd consider them their own regimental camp, though. Right? All the odds and ends over there. Las Flores, LAR, Recon, Anglico.
Marsoc,
right. All those guys. All right, so... One per, I'm going to put regiment just so for the sake of one per camp, if you will. Okay. All right. And so then we define frequent flyers, right?
Right.
All right. And then I can remember, at Camp Margarita as a second lieutenant, there were mock-ups of both 53s and 46s, wooden mock-ups that were out adjacent to the football field.
Right.
And you would go down there with your platoon, and you would get sometimes your air officer went down, but most times just you and your staff sergeant, and you would talk about, hey, getting on the 53, this is how you do it, and you'd run on and you'd run off and you'd run on and you'd run right. off. You do the same thing for the 46. Blah, 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 blah. So, I mean,
right.
we could do, and we can still do that kind of training for other people, and so they get familiarity with it, even though they're not frequent flyers. So
yeah, but you got, and you got hangar queens sitting down at Camp Pendleton that you could go down there any day and do this stuff with.
Okay. All right. So, but we, but there's frequent flyer training and then there's general training. Because again, I think Will's point is well made. Everybody in the Muse is going to go through the Hilo Dunker. Well,
right. And so the whole frequent flyer becomes moot point because what happens, you know, the possibilities of a helicopter going down the ocean, what is it? How many flights is it? No one really knows.
Well,
what happens when that one kid who's not a frequent flyer doesn't get the training, picks, you know, the short straw, gets on the bird, and it goes in the water? Oh, it's mom and dad, your son drowned because he wasn't classified as a frequent flyer, so thus he didn't get the training. Right?
Well, I guess I could ask. My son got shot in Fallujah. He was in there driving trucks. His truck got stopped. He was dismounted.
Right.
How come he didn't have the same skills as the other infantry guys there, which I think cost my kid my life? Well, your son's not a grunt.
No. I would say if he was, you know, if you're truck driving and you're driving and you're doing this and you get shot through the cab, yeah, that's not closing with and destroying the enemy by a fire maneuver.
No. My truck was stopped. I dismounted because of the fighting going on, but I don't have the same skills on the ground.
No, and I agree with that. So anybody that has potential, has the potential to actually engage with the enemy. So your convoy drivers, we still required that. They went through these mounted, dismounted vehicle ambushes and attacks and what to do and how to maneuver and keep pushing through these things.
So there's no way that, so in terms of Will's argument, which is the saying, look, the probability that you're going to fly is small. The probability that if you fly and that thing going into the water is small, therefore you're going to get this type of training. We can't make that value judgment because the parents will say my son's dead because of.
Yeah, sure, you can make that judgment. Anybody can make that judgment. Who's going to do it though? That's the big question. That's the million-dollar question.
And
who's going to make that call?
And that's not the way we tend to do it in a Marine Corps.
No. The regiment goes to the division for advice. The division goes to the MEF. The MEF goes to headquarters Marine Corps or MARFOR PAC, you know, whatever PAC or LANS they go to. And then they go to you or somebody else. And when it ends up coming down and say, you make the call.
Okay, so it's Will that's out to lunch. All right. So the best we can do with this issue is Marines run those facilities, and you which increases throughput. You also increase the number to one per camp, and that everybody that's going on the Mew is going to go through a minimum of one time. That's as good as it gets. Because,
why not?
Because we won't.
Why not add 3 days to boot camp and make everybody go through the boot camp too?
I don't know. I mean, that's PPNO stuff, right? Right.
Or in ITS or Infantry Training School or MCT. Again, do it again there.
I wouldn't have any issue with that. Why wouldn't you do that? If it's a significant skill and, you know, you would be able to put them through there, why not do that? But Will would say is, what do you have to give up to do that? And your response is add a day and you'll do, add 2 days and you'll do it organic to that.
Or you have someone make the executive decision and say, you know what? We're not going to give you a day. Thus, it's not important. And we're just going to do it status quo. And I will be the responsible agent. And any inquiries, please come to me.
Right.
Who's going to do that?
Good question.
Good
question. Right. But Will is of the mind that that's what needs to be done, is that the frequent flyers You know, so Hilo Company needs to go. So here's what he said. Okay, so where do your best swimmers go? And I said, well, we don't really assign them like that, but essentially they would be on the water. Okay, so who's on the water? Boats and tracks, right? Yeah. So your worst swimmers would be in the aircraft. Yeah. I said, but we don't assign it like that. Your worst swimmers if you took a rational approach to it, yeah. But that's not the way we do it. Your worst swimmers are going to be scattered throughout the battalion, and so they're going to be everywhere.
Well, you're looking at the rose-colored glasses, but that's not true. The best swimmers were always in the boat company. The second best were in the track company.
And you assign them like that?
No. Through the training, they weed them out. So when we were in boat company, we were in the water. When we were in training for the meet, we were in the water like every day. You had to get good. If you didn't get good, you got cut. And when you got cut, you got assigned to somewhere else.
Okay. No, I've never been in a Mew company. I've never been in Mew, so I wouldn't know how you go about that weeding process. Okay, so you do go through that weeding process.
Yeah.
All right. Give me your thoughts on Marines swimming being part of a cutting score. Good idea, bad idea?
You know what I think about cutting scores?
Tell me.
They're outdated. They're antiquated. Okay. They serve no purpose.
How ought we to do that?
It's subjective. You know, who's giving you the pros and cons? You know, how many people have you ever seen write? And how many officers have you ever seen write a correct fitness report? The counseling program for pros and cons. Busted, broken in the Marine Corps, or working just fine? I mean, how many times have you heard stories of, oh, shit, cutting scores are due. We don't want to get this promoted. This guy promoted. Give him a 3939. Can't do that.
Right.
Well, we don't want to get him promoted. Oh, now you just realize that? He's been with you for, what, a year? Where's his documentation on his counseling? Oh, we have none. Oh. The only people that we pay attention to when it comes to that are our officers. So we're not really good with that either, but we give them our concerted effort. That's how they rise. But our staff NCOs and our NCOs and our young enlisted Marines, no, we always shortchange them.
Yeah, it's
when
not.
Come on, you know that.
Well, no, it's not an objective. You know, everybody has their own system. You know, and we tried to straighten out the fitness report system, and I think that as opposed to the way it used to be, it's much better than it used to be. Now that everybody.
No, all we did was create a new. All we did with the new fitness report system was made a different type of skewed report.
I know, Mike, but now at least
we figured out how to skew it.
I know, but now at least there's data tracked in terms of where you sit in somebody's Christmas tree, where I sit in somebody's Christmas tree, where before we never even tracked that. So you could be one of seven, and I mean, but overall he would rate you lower, you know. And now at least I think that's an improvement. I agree with you. I mean, there's always that in the system. But with pro cons, there's none of that.
No, pros and cons is a joke.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you don't have somebody who really pays attention to it and even, you know, the differences between platoons in a company, if you don't have a company commander and a company first sergeant that bring that all together.
Come on. Don't give this to the first sergeant. They don't even know what's going on. But let's take this. This is a good, because listen, okay. A guy like Chris Bronzy. Chris Bronzy is a lieutenant and is a captain. I assure you, he did the pros and cons perfectly. as he could. Because that's the way Chris Bronson is.
Right.
He's a very meticulous leader. He's a fair leader. He's probably the fairest of all leaders. So he does it the right way. The problem with that is Chris Bronson screws all his guys in his battalion as a lieutenant or a company commander. Why? Because he's fairly rating them. The other ones are not following that Chris Bronson rule, and they're inflating theirs. As good as Bronzy's guys, no doubt, are getting promoted faster than Bronzy's guys.
Right.
So at one point, Bronzy realizes this, says, this is bullshit. So he lifts his up. It can be competitive with, you know, Shitbird A and Shitbird B from another company. And this progress goes throughout the Marine Corps. You know, again, it's subjective. I have a great guy. Okay, what makes him so great? Well, because I say he's great.
So what kind of system would you create? I mean, anything you're going to create at the end of the day has to have somebody's objective evaluation.
I think you'd have to have...
Do you have a better system in mind?
Some sort of peer involvement.
Ooh.
Of some degree. And I don't know how you weight that, but there has to be some type of peer involvement. And then you have to, as a leader, you have to bring in your other leaders, your subordinate leaders, and weigh it with them.
Can I tell you how I did it and give me your thoughts?
I did it on a dartboard.
I saw pro cons and I thought they were bullshit. Okay. And what I really thought was bullshit, and this is Second Lieutenant McNamara, motivator. And so they do pro cons, all right, and they bring them to me, and I look at them. But I mean, I don't see some of these Marines on a daily basis, right? I'm the lieutenant, so I sign off on them, and then I get Lance Corporal so and so Hicks comes in and says, "Hey, sir, why am I 4-3-4-2?" And I'm doing the I was embarrassed. And I said,
at least you're not doing the go talk to Corporal Jones.
Well, so here's what I got everybody together and I said, okay, here's what we're going to do next time. Every fire team leader is going to rank their Marines from best to worst. Okay? By rank. So if you're a fire team leader, you're going to rank all your Lance Corporals by rank. And you might have three of them. But somebody's going to be one, somebody's going to be two, and somebody's going to be three. Okay? And then the fire team leaders with the squad leaders are going to get together. And we're going to put, then the squad leader has to do the same thing for his squad. Right? There's going to be one, two, three in terms of fire team leaders. There's going to be Lance Corporals, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's going to be PFCs, 1, 2, 3. Okay? They're going to be ranked vertically. And then the fire team leaders with the squad leaders are going to get it with the platoon sergeant. We're ranking the platoon. And then that's what I want. Okay? And then I'm going to get with the other lieutenants, and I'm going to, with your top Marines, what number are you assigning them? 4949? 5050? What are you assigning them? And that's where we're going to start. And we'll start our scale because of that. And then any deviations, we'll make sure we footnote them. And they looked at me like I was crazy. And so I said, okay.
I think you're crazy.
And so I said, okay, so look, because I don't see them. And so when they come into me and say, why am I ranked like this? What I need to be able to say is, look, Corporal Musselman says you're 3 of 3 of Lance Corporals in his fire team. Okay. Sergeant Schwartz, he says you're 7 of 8 Lance Corporals in the squad. Okay. Staff Sergeant so-and-so says you're 20 of 23 in the squad. All right. Now just sit here. I'm going to get him in, but that's what the numbers say. So to me, what I wanted to do was I had to take the charcoal out of my lap and put it in the people who should be responsible for ranking these people and not let them get off and say everybody's 4-5, 4-5. And so So we sat and had a big argument about it. But at the end of the day, the staff NCOs came back and said, hey, we like that because it makes us all accountable for our own opinion of these Marines, and it doesn't put the onus on the lieutenant because that's not fair. And so then when as a company commander, we sat down and we did that as a company. I said, this is as fair as I can make it. I have no control over the battalion. You know, if I ever get to be a battalion commander, I'll implement it there. But you guys are going to rank your guys linearly, and then you're going to get together and as a group. And then our number one Lance Corporal, this is going before the board, right, for Marine of the Quarter or Meritorious Promotion. That's who's going before the board. Got it? Oh, well, that makes sense. Yeah, it does, because everybody knows, right? Everybody knows. And so what do you think? Good idea, Ben.
Okay. Here's where, so let me tell you a story what happened.
All right.
The year is about 1986, and there's a Lance Corporal Musselman. He just made Lance Corporal meritoriously.
Who?
In a section of six other Marines in the 81st platoon.
What?
My section leader was a corporal who had just come off barracks duty. So he probably had maybe a year or more time than I did and was a guaranteed corporal.
Right. Ugh. One of the worst things the Marine Corps ever did.
He ranked me. This is after I took the meritorious board for the company and weapons company for the battalion. He ranked me 6 of 6.
Wait a minute. So you just
not one.
You just win meritorious Lance Corporal
for the battalion, yeah, and for the company. And I was the only one other company, weapons company.
And you're
that
6 of 6.
I'm 6 of 6.
You know what? I told you, your big mouth gets you in trouble everywhere you go.
My platoon sergeant, who is a drunk 0848 artillery gunny that's signed to 81 platoon, we didn't know what was going on. He agreed to, okay, 6 of 6. It was my very smart, at the time, lieutenant who went, wait a second. We just put this guy up for a meritorious board. And now you're telling me he's 6 of 6?
No.
So he goes to the other 5 Marines in my section and says, what's going on here?
Right.
And they said, Musselman's our gunner on the 81, and he's as good as they get. And the only problem he has is he questions everything Corporal Campbell says because Corporal Campbell's a doof. And, so I'm taking all the heat for the section because our corporal is an idiot, telling us to do stupid things, and I'd question. So finally, the lieutenant figures this out.
Right.
Shortly after that, I picked up meritorious corporal, and I became section leader, and Campbell's not working for me.
Okay. How did that work out?
I can't tell you how many times the karma bus hit Campbell, but I lost count. Needless to say, Campbell did not make it very far in the Marine Corps.
But see, my system would account for that, man. My system
not really. Not unless you had people that were looking out for other people.
Well, that's the whole thing. So Campbell screws you over, right? Okay, so Campbell rates you, let's just say, 6 of 6, right?
And the platoon sergeant agreed.
Right.
He didn't know. Platoon sergeant never talked to anybody.
But so to me, then what happens is the sections get together before the platoon sergeant, and now they have to rank their Marines. And at some point, somebody's got to say something. And if nobody says something,
but in 81 section, Gun 3 does not know what's going on at Gun 4.
Yeah, not to the detail, but you see them. But we should all
not really.
We should all be able to say, like, in my platoon, right, I don't see him as much as the squad leaders see him. But if I'm the platoon sergeant, I still see him. I still know who's good. I still know who's not good. And again, I agree.
Yeah, I just think there's got to be a better system.
I don't think there is. I think my system's as good as it gets. And again, if you have idiots in those positions, then what's the old saying? Garbage in, garbage out. There's nothing you can do about that. If there's idiots out, those guys are going to get screwed. You know, but for you, thankfully, there was a lieutenant who had a clue. You know, I always had, you know, at least, I mean, I think like everybody, I always had a few bozos. You know, but I also had some good, hard-charging, honest, tough Marines that knew good Marines, knew who the good Marines were in the company. And once they saw that, hey, if Benson, who's like 5 pounds overweight, but he's the best Lance Corporal, he's the smartest, he's the toughest, you know, he's a great humper, he's Benson's the guy, man. All right, if Benson's our guy, then, hey, you sergeants, get Benson PT in more, get him to lose his 5 pounds, and get him to be meritorious corporal. That's your job. He's the best we got, though, and we're not going to put somebody else that looks prettier than Benson up for that stuff. You get Benson unscrewed. That's your job. And it got us, I thought it got us to a better place. I did it also as a company commander, and the staff NCOs liked it. They're like, hey, sir, where'd you learn this? I said, I invented it. Yeah, bitches, I invented it. Like, yeah. They're like, well, and so I'd tell them the story. And they all had similar stories to you, Mike. And they started telling pro-con stories. Same thing with the beauty contest that went on for Marine of the Quarter, right? You know, meritorious, who's going? Why is it always somebody from the headquarters element that's going? Those pretty boys.
Yeah.
Why isn't it our best Lance Corporal? And if you walked in and had all the Marines stand around and say, who's the best Lance Corporal, right, in the platoon? They'd go, Benson is. But Pereira goes because he's the CO's driver because he looks better than his Charlies. And he knew how many inches above or below the knee the WM hemline could be on the beauty contest.
Like, what? Yeah.
Yeah, that's how that guy was chosen. And so I I got in a lot of shit as second lieutenant in Okinawa on my first deployment because I would not participate in the beauty contest. And my company commander called me in, and he chewed me. He chewed my ass out. And he said, what the fuck do you think you're doing walking out of that board? I said, sorry, I'm not going to participate in it. He says, that's your appointed place of duty. I said, sir, the best Marines in this company are getting screwed, right, while your driver gets nominated for meritorious corporal. It's bullshit. He's not even working in his MOS.
Right.
These guys are out there.
He should be eligible.
Yeah, these guys are out there killing it every day. And then he stops. He says, what do you mean? What kind of system are you talking about? And I said, well, here's what I think. You know, and I talked to him. And he, to his credit, he changed it. But my first sergeant hated me. Former air winger. Right, comes over to the grunts, doesn't have any clue what's going on. Used to put mop and glow on his boots that used to crack like crazy. He looked like an idiot. He used to blouse his boots really high, and then when he'd sit down and stand up, like it'd be like above his calves, and he'd walk out of his office with his cracked mop and glow on his boots and his socks showing. You're like, oh my God. Get out of here, man. Get us somebody who knows what the fuck they're doing. So, anyway. So, the beauty contest, I hated it. Absolutely hated it. We know who the best Marines are, right? Get them ready. You guys got to vote on it, though, because it'll come down to two or three, and you guys have to argue over who is the best one, right? And we're not going to ask stupid non-MOS bullshit questions about the WM's hemline, goddammit. But, Mike, I mean, they looked at me like I was crazy. Like, what are you talking about? I'm talking about your opinions as professionals. You pick the best guy, all right? And I'll be able to look at them and say, look, every staff sergeant, the first sergeant, company got together, you're number one, you're number two, you're number three in this company. That means you're going before the board. Congratulations. Here's meritorious mass for all of you, and you'll all get 2 days off. You'll pick them. Hey, so that's all. That's all. That's awesome. That's right. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
But there was so much pushback because they were used to asking questions about the hemline. I hated it. I absolutely hated it. So, and then they'd ask me, hey, sir, are you prior enlisted? I'm like, no, I'm just fucking cool, man. I'm just fucking cool. That used to be one of my favorites because it would piss him off when I'd say that. Anyway, the all right. Anything else on your mind today?
No, not really.
What are you doing this weekend?
I'm teaching a class tomorrow.
Yeah, on what?
Oh, concealed handgun.
Yeah, is this your first time you're teaching that?
Yeah, since I've been out of the class.
Are you nervous?
No.
So how do you get employed to teach? Does a school employ you? Does who employs you?
I do.
Oh, so you put an advertisement in the paper that you're going to teach this class and people sign up and they pay you?
Yes. Yes.
What?
Well, a lot of people already knew or were waiting for me to get it done so they could go to my class.
And
I got 25 people tomorrow.
How much do they pay?
It's $80.
And who where does that money go?
To me. Some of it goes to the range.
Right.
But
That's not bad. Little hobby boy. Wow. So you're going to be there all day?
Yeah, like 6 hours.
Well, that's not even bad for 6 hours work. And what range are you going to do it on? You're going to do it on Ron's range?
Mm-mm. Indoor range.
Indoor range?
Yeah.
How is Ron's range? Is it staying clean after you cleaned it up that day?
Oh, yeah.
They know?
And then tonight at our place, we're hosting the meet and greet for Ron in our neighborhood, so.
You fired up about that? What is your official title relative to
helper?
You're the official helper?
Yeah, I'm just a helper.
All right. How's your wife? Is she all right?
Yeah, she's going crazy about this thing tonight.
Why?
Oh, the food that we got out? Jeez, man. I mean, this is like 5-star stuff. So.
What kind of food? Tell me. Give me the menu.
Ugh. We have basil with mozzarella.
Ooh.
We have like finger sandwiches being made by Christina's. Gary and Katie are making those in the desserts. We have quiches, small quiches.
We love those.
Prosciutto and different cheeses and different salamis. And we got a lot of stuff. Wine.
Prosciutto
and
is to die for. Honestly.
We got a lot of stuff.
It is. It's good stuff. If good prosciutto, I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So you sound like you got a full weekend, man.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so just to summarize, everything else can stay the same in the Marine Corps relative to swimming. And if you just put Marines in charge of the pools and built more facilities, continue to do what you do and have greater throughput.
Yeah, that's a start.
That's a start. Because we think the probability of somebody doing what Will Cosentini says and accepting that kind of risk is zero.
Right.
Okay. All right. I think that's honest and true. That's honest and true. Okay. All right, man. Well, good luck with your class and good luck with your little reception thing tonight.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, really.
All right. You feeling any better now that you got the drugs for a few days and
Oh yeah, I feel a lot better today.
Really?
Go rent that movie, Rush. You'll get a good kick out of it.
I like it.
Yeah, it's a good story.
All right. I will do that. All right, man. Have a good weekend.
All right. Talk to you later.
There's the one and only Michael Musselman on a Friday right here, otherwise known to his buddies as the Gunner. Let me read you an email as we get out of here. I want to follow up with something that the chef said a couple hours ago. He talked about it being interesting to listen. I got out of the Marine Corps a long time ago. I listened to you guys talk, and I learned a ton about today's Marine Corps. The way it works, and it gives me a great appreciation for all the different things the Marine Corps does now that we didn't do when I was in. I do see the conundrum in the swimming thing. I think your friend Will is on the right track. And that's the way it should be. However, I also agree that that's probably not going to be the way it finally works out. One other point. I agree with the gunner that pro cons are bullshit. They have always been so subjective. And in areas where there's no oversight, they're absolutely positively ridiculous. I would tell you that most Marines hate them. Absolutely positively hate them. The system, Mac, that you're talking about, sounds like a better system because of the oversight, hopefully, that would occur at multiple levels as Marines were looked at, not only by their leader, but by other leaders who saw them on a daily basis as well. Have a great weekend. Good luck to the gunner in his class. Enjoy the program. That'll do it. Have a great weekend. On a Friday. All Marine Radio. Over and out.